Hi, everyone. This is Hannah coming to you from the incredibly hot hallway studios right now. And I'm really excited to share with you a updated, spruced up version of the very first episode of Wholehearted called Nick and Hannah. All of the voiceover was re-recorded with a better mic, and all of the music is brand new and composed by Josh Perlman Hall. So while I'm working on all these new episodes for season two, I just wanted to share with you this new shiny version of Nick and Hannah to tide you over, especially if you weren't with me since the very beginning of season one. So I hope you enjoy. Send me a message if you want, just to say hi, or if you have any ideas. I'm really excited to share what I have in store for next season. So enjoy the episode, and I will talk to you soon.
Why me?
Because you saw me when I was invisible.
I love teen movies. Just because I love makeover montages, prom sequences, dramatic downpours at football games. I love the ability these tropes have to stir up the same sort of feelings that you'd get before seeing your crush in the hallway, or at an early summer bonfire, or maybe just at a really kind of horny cast party, which of course no one wants to go back to, but you get my point. I love the feelings of nostalgia and hope and self-indulgence that teen movies inspire. And when we watch teen movies, I think we all feel this way. You really remember what it felt like to fall in love for the first time. And when I think about falling in love for the very first time, I think of my dear friend, Nick. To describe Nick as simply having been my high school crush would definitely be an understatement. And in spite of many, many obvious reasons why I should have abandoned all my misguided hopes of us being together in a romantic way, I wholeheartedly believed that there was a chance, no matter how slim that chance may have been, that I could end up getting what I wanted. Of course, I never really told Nick about my feelings for him, at least not in their full glory, not only because they're not relevant anymore, but because they're honestly embarrassing to talk about. I first fell in love with Nick 10 years ago, at the beginning of our freshman year of high school. Now we're both college graduates and young adults struggling to navigate our respective worlds. The thing that I love the most in a teen movie is a main character who can do nothing but say exactly what's on their mind and exactly how they're feeling right when it matters the most.
I was like, why am I even listening to begin with?
You're a virgin who can't drive.
You have history.
I'm tired of being second best or fake best.
No, you do not get it.
Since this is a high school story, I figured Nick and I would go back and get it all out on the table and do our teen selves justice. If you can't tell, I'm all about feelings. And in this story and on this show, we are gonna go there. Welcome to Wholehearted, where we feel things all the way. Here we share stories of wholehearted commitment to the things, places, people, and ideas we believe in, for better or for worse. I'm your host, Hannah Ray Leach. All right, so close your eyes and imagine everything I'm about to say as a scene-setting montage. We're in suburban Cleveland. The only things to do in our town are to get ice cream, get Chipotle, do a ton of extracurriculars, or smoke weed. Most people did a medley of all four. I was the type of girl who, in my mind, was always just a touch too greasy and had 10% too many doodles on her sneakers. But in reality, I was a well-liked, well-adjusted girl who somehow pulled off wearing rainbow gradient eyeshadow every day. The thing that I remember most about Nick when I first met him is that he was allegedly this massive douche, but that didn't really make sense to me when I found his live blog. I remember what I would describe as aggressive encouragement. I remember aggressively encouraging him to read his poems aloud at the Creative Writing Club open mic night we'd have every Wednesday, and eventually I was able to bully him into taking the risk and reading his poetry out loud, and that became the foundation of our friendship. Nick and I would Facebook chat, classic, late into the night, me shamelessly investigating the emotions that his poetry alluded to him having. We're talking loneliness, isolation, disenfranchisedness. All things that I, of course, was very intrigued by. How could this dimpled, handsome, socially mobile, and talented boy feel all these feelings? Nick and I were similar in ways that I had never been with a boy before. We found the same things funny, we could both dredge up seemingly endless amounts of angst from our then thoroughly unchallenging lives. It seemed so unlikely to me that this popular pretty boy would ever see me as a real person, let alone an interesting friend and confidant, and that made me love him. It was probably 4 months-ish into my knowing Nick when my feelings towards him basically grew into a deep, all-consuming personality trait. I don't really know why it happened. Maybe the feelings were egged on by the whole whispery magic of both being on stage crew for our high school drama club, or late-night drives talking about what our futures would look like, of course, with both of us dreading separation at the end of the night. Before too long, we were texting, "I love you," back and forth before bed every night, and surprisingly, I was not the one to start that little tradition. And of course, I lived for that. The fantasy of my crush on Nick could only stay alive if he stayed single, so I prayed for him to stay that way. But in the process, I'd make all these bizarre, self-sacrificing choices, almost as if I found pleasure in my own suffering, which I was in high school, so I guess that tracks. My good friend wanted to make out with him. I'd have to theatrically, like, allow for her to make a move. My other good friend wanted to take him to prom. I'd encourage Nick, of course, to accept the invitation and to go take pictures with her and do all the things teenage girls want from their crushes. Even though we were connected deeply as friends, I knew that, realistically, there was zero chance of us being more than that. He was, and still is, honestly, a lot more conventionally hot than me. He could have picked from any girl he wanted, and a million other reasons. But that did not stop me from feeling the way that I did. My crush on Nick felt like walking around with a 6-foot sword stuck through my chest. It felt like running mascara, streaks from sobbing in a locker room or at your kitchen counter in the middle of the night. It felt like pots and pans clanging next to my head to hear the chorus of girls pining after him.
Nikki!
And why did I suffer for so long? For me to free myself from that sweet, dull ache of unrequited love, I would have had to tell him how I felt, and that was a risk I was not willing to take. My hopes of being with Nick had become a security blanket or an addiction. What if I never found this type of feeling again? One summer, after our sophomore year, Nick grew inexplicably close to a classmate of ours, David. David was a year older than us and super likable. He had a warmth and a silliness about him that was magnetic. Nick and David became inseparable. I was neutral, if not vaguely antagonistic, towards their friendship. But as the months went on, things began to grow more and more suspicious. They would text. A lot. Like, a lot. More than Nick and I did. And it came off as neurotic and obsessive. What were they talking about? And why couldn't I know what they were talking about? In spite of being the dream boy of so many girls I knew, Nick never, ever meaningfully spoke about being interested in any one of them. At least, once he and David became friends. I began to speculate about the nature of their friendship, but more potently, I trusted Nick so much that I knew he would tell me if something was going on, right? I knew something was off, that I was so desperately Eponine Drizzled and Rain style in love with him, that I willfully disregarded that impulse. I loved our dumb jokes. I loved how I could see the influence of our friendship shaping his life. I loved holding on to hope that things would someday change or shift and that things would somehow just work. Because if they didn't work, it felt as though it would be a primal loss that I could not endure. Keep in mind, throughout all of this confusion, Nick and I are still saying I love you to each other before bed every night. By my senior year, I'd say my feelings had devolved from crush to dormant emotional investment and a very close friendship. I had given up on any romantic aspirations a long time ago, but we continued our friendship until the end of high school. All my public singing of songs I'd written about him, all my thinly veiled micromanagement of his social life, and of course, my unflinching singlehood went totally undiscussed. He went off to Ohio State, and I went off to NYU. I cathartically, and like, definitely troublingly, just sobbed in his driveway the night that he left. We kept our friendship alive throughout the fall semester of our freshman year of college, but things changed when I found out that Nick was, finally, without any trace of doubt, gay. Unfortunately, I found out through my little sister. But the fact that he was gay really wasn't the problem. There was a lot more to it than just that. One, he had come out much earlier to people that were not me. Two, he had been secretly dating David for over 2 years. And three, he had been cheating on David for the whole summer before we left for college. It's kind of hard to describe the impact that this whole revelation had on me. Of course, I felt terrible that he had had to keep that secret for such a long time, but I couldn't help but be pissed. I just couldn't believe that this person had been my best friend for 4 years, that I had been so stupid and so willfully ignorant to what was pretty obvious in retrospect. Every time a scarlet and gray-filled photo of him arose in any of my numerous news feeds, I'd look at the boy in the picture in awe. Who even was that person staring back at me in that somehow appropriate crop top? I couldn't believe that all the energy that I had put into the fantasy of who I wanted Nick to be had just totally gone to waste. And as much as I tried to reconcile who I knew him to be with who he apparently had been all along, it made my brain go fuzzy because I was truly heartbroken. And my inability to sort through all that emotional and cognitive dissonance ended our friendship. Again, it's been 10 years since the beginning of our relationship. Why even bring any of this up? Because to me, at the end of the day, there's still a lot of mysticism around our relationship. This friendship that shaped my identity in some of the most formative years of my life has still gone largely unexamined. And I am finally brave enough to do what the 15-year-old me should have done in the first place. Ask all the questions, say all the feelings, and find out all that I did not know. Nick and I sat down to talk after walking to a restaurant near my apartment for dinner and drinks. This is us about 2 drinks in, respectively.
Actually, I want to start with you reading your poem.
Oh, I'm kidding.
just to get us in the spirit of 2009.
Let me get my closeted voice on. Okay, this one's called The Glass Box Boy.
Fuck, I remember this one.
The Glass Box Boy. Often it is forgotten that we aren't immune. We aren't special.
I gotta say, hearing Nick read his poetry out loud was nothing short of rapturous. I still have relatively no idea what any of it means.
You had this very, generically popular boy, thing going on, but then your poetry was so sad.
Literally, and so sad.
I was like, what is going on with this person?
The mystique persona
literally
that I, put on.
So
meanwhile, she's just a normal sad boy.
I asked Nick if he remembered what he thought of me when we first met back in 2009.
I somehow was just this person is so unapologetically herself and confident and me being a very insecure 13-14-year-old boy immediately was I want to be friends with this person because I could kind of feed off of that confidence. We would hang out and we had lunch together freshman year, I think, right? And then I just remember, like, creative writing club, and you, like, encouraged me to do creative writing club, which is, like, something I never would have done, like, on my own. But, like, to have somebody be like, you should do it. I was like, oh, my God, like, I have, like, somebody, like, being supportive of, like, me and, like, things that I like to do.
I couldn't help but jump the gun a little bit and ask him when he started to get a hunch that I had feelings for him.
You said you peripherally had a sense that I, like, had a crush on you. Like, do you remember when you started to feel that?
So I think I remember I had a crush on, like, Brittany freshman year.
All names have been changed to protect the innocent.
And I feel like I had, like, said something to you about it. And, like, I think, just, like, sense your energy of, like, not being happy about that and, like, disappointment kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, like, I knew. And then I was, like, not that I was super into Brittany, obviously. Super into boys. But, like, you know, I think I kind of got the picture earlier on, I would say, rather than later. But mm-hmm. again, it was like, I would rather ignore this issue than deal with it, because it would mean, like, not having my friend.
So one thing that I'm very curious about is, like, we got in this rhythm of the I love you texting. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I mean, now that you say that, yes.
You started it. And why did you do that?
That was her drama. When I started saying that, it was, like, me trying to say, like, thank you for being my friend and, like, thank you for, you know, like, being the kind of person that in the beginning of high school and, like, the scariest time of your life, like, allowed me to kind of step out of my comfort zone and gave me the space to, like, grow as a person, I think was, like, probably where I was coming from at the time when I said that. But, like, wasn't, like, rationally thinking about, like, the repercussions of, like, me starting that dialogue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that, because even when it was happening, I, like, knew that it wasn't anything. Like, I knew it was basically what you were saying. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I would be like, why
would he say that?
Would he say that?
Yeah.
Like, that consistently.
Yeah.
Like, that was always, like, I feel like, you know, like, when you really want something to be real, you, like, pick tiny breadcrumbs and, like, string them together. Yeah. And you're like, maybe, maybe. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that was one of the things mm-hmm. where I'd always be like, well, why would he do X, Y, and Z?
Right.
I asked Nick when he first started to think that he might be gay.
I think even up until, I want to say sophomore year, I think that's when things started to, like, unravel. But up until that, like, it had never even crossed my mind that I was gay. Like, it wasn't even, like, in my thought process or, like, mm-hmm. wasn't even something I was, like, hiding even. It was just, it had not come to the surface yet. But, you know, then as I started to get closer with David, like, you know, our underlying sexual tension started to come to the surface, then I started to kind of be like, what's going on here? Because, you know, at the time, like, looking back on it, I didn't really think, like, when it was happening, like, when, you know, we would, like, sext or, like, send pictures back to each other or something like that. I didn't think, oh, I'm gay. I was like, this is just part of boys growing up in high school and dealing with hormones. Like, it's weird because there isn't really, like, a dialogue about that kind of stuff. So, like, I didn't really know that I was, like, coming into terms of, like, my sexuality. I just thought I was, like, a really horny boy that, like, needed to, like, constantly, like, get that kind of sexual energy out. So I think it took me a while to even be like, oh, like, I'm gay.
And then a story I was hoping wouldn't come up came up.
You know, people would always ask, like, you know, what is your relationship like with David? Like, what is, like, are you guys, like, a thing? And I, like, remember a specific instance, like, with you, and I'm not
I
trying
think
to
I know
even,
what
like,
it is.
Like, Virginia Beach. Is that
oh,
what
yeah.
That was, like,
that was bad. That was bad for me, but, like, and bad for you.
It was bad for everyone.
So what happened was, all right, people, it's 2012.
Girls.
We're at fucking Busch Gardens in Virginia for
a show choir / band / orchestra trip, oh, girls.
So imagine just the amount of straight energy bouncing around. So David got up and he walked away. And like the second he walked away, you were texting him.
Okay.
Because the thing that had me like the Beyonce, like pray you catch me energy was like the nonstop texting.
Nonstop communication.
And I noticed it. Mm-hmm. And I was always like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
And so I don't know like what happened within me, but it was like within earshot of other people, I'm pretty sure. And I like loudly was like, if you're gay, you should probably tell me.
Yeah. No, I remember too.
And you didn't say anything.
I just imagine like the blood like being flushed from my face. No, but you know what it was and like why we were always texting? And like I don't hold a grudge against you because we're here talking about
right.
it. But you know, we were probably fighting about something at that time. Yeah. Obviously, we could never fight in person in front of other people. So when he got up and left, I'm sure I was trying to either finish the dialogue that we were having earlier where we got interrupted or like something else had happened and we couldn't keep fighting or yelling at him about something or starting up a dialogue. And, you know, that's why we were always texting and always talking because we couldn't ever communicate the way we normally do in front of other people.
I asked him if he debated just telling me in that moment.
But I mean, at that time, like, I think, like, part of me was, like, screaming and just saying, like, roll with this, go with this, like, do it. But I was too afraid of the repercussions of me saying that without the support of David because I needed him to be okay with us coming out together because I was not okay to come out on my own yet.
It turns out that the fight they were probably having that day at Busch Gardens wasn't a rare occasion. In fact, they actually fought a lot.
I don't hold any, like, ill feelings towards him. And, like, I think both of us, like, did some bad things to each other. And I think it was just, you know, we were both two high school gay boys trying to figure it out. So, like, nobody was going to win in that situation. And, you know, we would say stuff to each other that would kind of be, like, wildly inappropriate and just be like, if you, you know, say anything or if you break up with me, like, I'm gonna freak out. Like, I, like, won't be able to, like, go to school or, like, I'm sure there was, like, a night like that where we were having a very intense fight and I'm sure I had, like, the text, like, written out, ready to, like, press send to, like, you or to be like, I'm gay, I've been dating David, and, like, I can't do this anymore, like, it's, you know, it's killing me, blah, blah, blah. But then, you know, I would, like, kind of regroup and be like, okay, we can't do this, like, get it together.
Mm-hmm.
And fall asleep, and then go to school the next morning.
I wanted to know more about the emotional and social restraints put on Nick throughout this relationship and if he thought that those restraints affected our friendship at all.
Did David feel weird about our friendship in the same way I felt weird about your friendship with him?
Oh, yeah. He would get very jealous of that relationship. If I was hanging out with you and I wasn't texting him and keeping him in the loop as I was with you, then he would get mad. Or, like, assume something weird was going on and be like, why aren't you texting me? Why aren't you responding to me? Like, what's going on? He did not like when I would hang out with you. And I think that put a strain on our relationship, especially further down in high school when him and I were becoming more serious.
I still felt like, even with the relationship with David, like, it still felt like there were, like, certain parts of you that, like, only I, like, really knew.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. Well, and that's what I think was, like, so hard in general with how I was going about high school is, like, I gave different pieces of myself to different people.
Mm-hmm.
So there wasn't ever one person in high school who, like, could say, I know Nick. Not even Kyle, like, my best friend growing up. And not even David, who was my boyfriend for 2 years of high school. Like, you know, I was Voldemort, like, not to do a Harry Potter reference, but I, like, put myself into all these different people because I was too afraid of putting all of me into one person and then, you know, being destroyed by them. With David, like, he was the only person that had, like, my sexuality and, like, knew that I was gay and, mm-hmm. like, had that whole part. And, like, I think very much with you, like, a lot of what I gave to you was just kind of, like, my emotional self. Mm-hmm. Like, even though I couldn't really get into, like, a lot of the stuff with him, like, I think I always kind of, like, danced around, like, some of the other issues and, like, would try my best to tell you the things I could tell you without giving that part away.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I felt comfortable being, like, vulnerable and emotional with you.
At this point, a lot of my questions had been answered, but I still didn't really know what happened with the random boy Nick cheated on David with. And that was one of the things I wanted to know about the most. This boy was a secret from both me and David, arguably the two people closest to Nick throughout that time, and his secret relationship with this boy hurt both of us deeply.
It was later in the night, a lot of people were asleep. I went up to the bathroom, and this kid who was at the party, he was in the grade below me. I had never met him before I went to that party. He followed me into the bathroom, and he started to, like, try and hook up with me. And we, like, hooked up for a little, and I felt weird, and I was like, I'm just going to go to bed. Before we left, he, like, was like, let me get your number. So we, like, exchanged numbers, and then, you know, throughout, and the backdrop of all of this being, like, I'm about to leave for college and say bye to my friends that I've been friends with for 4, 8, 10 years, mm-hmm. and start this new chapter of my life. But meanwhile, I'm still dating David. And I'm about to go to college with David. But now, you know, this random kid pops up and now I'm talking to him. And, you know, I am, like, losing it. I can't talk to anyone about this. I can't, you know, process my feelings or talk with them out loud or ask someone, am I crazy? Like, what is this?
I wondered if there was anything specific about this new boy that Nick found alluring enough to risk his long-established relationship for. And his reasoning ended up being more profound and more true to the teen experience at large than I ever could have imagined.
I don't think it was anything specifically about him. And, like, looking back on it, like, it was, I think, my first realization that the world is bigger than this. Like, there are other gay men out there. There are other boys that I can find a happy life with. And, like, I'm not going to be alone if I don't stick it out with David through this relationship that clearly isn't working. Like, that was, like, my first wake-up call to say, it doesn't have to be like this. It's not supposed to be like this. You guys aren't meant to be together, and you need to move on from that. Regardless of never having a legitimate relationship before, I knew that it wasn't functional and I knew that it wasn't gonna work out in the end. But in my head, we were getting married. I was gonna get married and, like, have my whole life with him, and, like, this was the one, because it's, like, it's your first love.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think what it boils down to in high school is, like, you don't know how much bigger the world is. So when you find that kind of connection and that bond with someone, you don't want to give it up for anything, because you're like, what if I never find this again? What if I'll never have this feeling again? Like, I can't lose this person. I can't give this up. This means so much. But then, you know, you start to grow and you realize, like, yes, what we had is special, but that, you know, there are other problems that play into it, and I will find love and I will find some sort of connection and bond with somebody else, and it doesn't have to be within, like, this 2-mile radius of where I grow up. But in high school, you can't explain that to anyone. You can't explain that to a 16-year-old. So I think that's, like, why it's so hard to kind of, like, face facts, like, and be rational with those kinds mm-hmm. of relationships growing up in high school. I did
bars.
A lot to not break my voice in that little soliloquy.
I would also just like to take a moment to say that David has not disappeared from our lives. In fact, he's still a very dear friend of mine. He has not only approved this story, but he's happy that the struggle of a messy, closeted high school relationship and the inevitable pain that comes along with it is being shared. Right before winter break of my freshman year of college, my sister was the one who called me and broke the news. She had heard about Nick through the grapevine, and that grapevine had somehow totally avoided me. And after I found out that Nick had been keeping this huge secret for such a long time, I staged something of an intervention at, you guessed it, we are in Ohio, a neighboring town's Panera. But when I tried to talk to Nick about everything I found out, he was pretty unapologetic and pretty cold, and his icy response broke my heart the most.
I was not able to, like, be friends with you because it wasn't even because of David or the or the guy. It was like, this is like, it felt like what you were saying earlier, where you were like, it's really hard to like say goodbye to like the first person you felt really strongly about. That was it for me.
Yeah.
And I was like, is that person who I like was like, air quotes, like in love with, like even like a real person?
Like, did I even know that person? Even though I never wanted to acknowledge it, I knew that there were like feelings on your end that had never kind of been acknowledged or really kind of like brought to the table to be discussed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I, for as much as like wanted, I wanted to like ignore that whole part to like make it easier on me. Like, I knew deep down that that was like very much part of your experience growing up in high school and like what our relationship was. And I think that was also like a big reason that, you know, when we kind of had our disagreement and then we stopped talking, like I kind of just was like, I can't even reach out. Like, what am I, what can I say? You know what I mean? Like, it was, I think, unfair for like your edit. 'Cause it was almost like, you know, like me coming out kind of like overshadowed the whole relationship and like the whole complex like dynamic that we had. But I felt very much like I couldn't do anything to fix that because so much had been done and so much had been swept under the rug at that point that, you know, it wasn't gonna get fixed until we both had the time apart from each other.
Hearing him acknowledge that he had let our friendship fray to save face was extremely significant to me. Honoring the fact that we both actively chose to stay away from each other would make the 19-year-old me feel much, much less alone. I asked Nick if he remembered the first time he saw me after we stopped talking.
So I remember one time, I want to say it was like my junior year maybe. It was when you were dating.
We're talking about my very nice, very cute college boyfriend that I somehow miraculously acquired via OkCupid and dedication in 2015.
You came over and I think you were like kind of drunk when you got there. And you were just kind of like, we were like friendly and like talked, but you could tell there was like this weird like strain. Like we like couldn't like connect correctly. 'Cause I think at that point too, you were like, I'm in this relationship with this boy, like I'm good. You know what I mean? Like,
the you're thirst dismissed. Is being quenched.
Legit. Like, thank you so much for your time. Get out. Which I think was like your moment of being like, bitch, like the shit that you put me through, like, fuck you. So I like remember that, but like,
did you really think that as it was happening?
I just felt like we had this like weird kind of like, like we were both trying to be like, how are you? But both being like, this is fucking weird. And like, we're both like have other things to say.
This situation is a great example of how we'd interact in obligatory social situations, but never the way we used to. But after years apart, safely observing, we were both ready to try again.
Like, once you started to kind of come into your own, and, like, I could see on, like, Twitter, like, how gay she was. Yeah. I was like, oh, my God. She's, like, an icon. I was like, who is this person?
And that's how we got back to each other.
No, literally, that's how we got back to each other. Because I was like, we're, like, weirdly the same.
Legit.
But, like, we're the same in, like, a new way.
Yeah.
When we reconnected, like, I'd been through my first major relationship. Like, rise, fall, all, everything. And, like, I think that after that, I was like, Because with you, I felt like my first, like, heartbreak was with you.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, my first actual breakup was with
Right.
And so I was like, okay, like, thank you next to this whole thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm just ready to, like, love my friends.
Right.
And that was, I think, like, I was just, like, so happy to, like, be friends with you again.
Yeah. Because it very much was, like, you know, a very strong emotional connection that we shared throughout such a hard time. Mm-hmm. Like, high school was so hard. You're so desperate to have a genuine connection with someone. Like, you just want to be loved. Like, you want to be loved for you, and you want to, like, have that feeling and be able to reciprocate it, because you've never had that outside of your family, and some people don't even have that with their family. But, you know, you want to be able to feel love. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, that manifests in so many different ways and, like, gets so easily confused with, like, so many other feelings, because love isn't just I love this person and I also want to have sex with them and marry them or be with them. Like, it's so much more complicated than that. You know, you think that's the only way you can love in high school. So you grab onto that and you don't want to let go of that for anything. Because if you don't have that, you don't have love, and you'll never have love.
The wildest part of the story here is that we both felt so separate from each other and so unable to communicate about what went wrong between us, but the foundation of both of our heartbreaks was really the same. We were both holding on to love for love's sake, me with Nick and Nick with David, both of us scared that we'd never find anything better.
I wish that I could bring 15-year-old me into the room right now.
Sit her down.
It was so formative to who I am.
Right, that's what I was gonna say.
That, like, it's,
you probably didn't want to, like, you don't want to erase
it. I don't want to erase it because it's like made me who I am in so many ways.
Yeah.
I guess it would be to honestly, like, try and remember how everything feels as much as possible, just because the first time that you, like, feel those feelings is, like, so potent and magical, even if it sucks.
Yeah, even if it hurts.
Well, I love you.
They love you.
I love Nick. I loved him in high school, and I'm actually really happy to say that I love him now. And in this brand new way that I never thought would be possible or even be something that I would want. I think that the teen versions of us, wherever they exist, in whatever parallel plane they're hanging out in, would be really happy to know that we are okay. And what an epilogue to the teen movie of our friendship, right? So, do you have a wholehearted belief you want to share with the world? If so, send an email or voice memo to hannah@wholeheartedpodcast.com. I'd love to hear all about it. Wholehearted is produced, written, engineered, and hosted by me, Hannah Ray Leach, and recorded in Hallway Studios, located in Cleveland Heights, Ohio. This episode was mixed by Sean Rule Hoffman. All show music is created by Josh Perlman Hall. Show artwork is by Ayana Cheston. Special thanks to Evergreen Podcasts, Isabel Robertson, David, and of course, Nick. Keep up with the show on Instagram @wholeheartedpodcast and @wholeheartedpodcast.com. See you next time.